Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Mark Chandler. He is a managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog, which I will post a link to below this interview. Mark, it's Friday, and I feel like we have to talk about this jobs number that came out today because it definitely surprised on the downside. Expectations of maybe around 1 million jobs to be added, and we got 200,000 and change jobs added. So definitely a disappointment, but some very interesting moves on the back of that data because markets are actually up today. We're seeing a lot of green on the screen today, which you would think after a bad jobs number would maybe pull back some of the markets, but clearly this is just, I guess, validating everyone who is saying the Fed is going to keep their foot on the pedal. Mark, what's your takeaway from that jobs data, the weak jobs data today?
Yeah, what a surprise. This might have been like one of the biggest misses that I've seen in my career. You're right, the market was talking about 1 million jobs. That was the median forecast in the Bloomberg survey. We got 266,000. And compounding the injury with insult, the March data was revised down from 916,000 to 770,000. So that's a big downward revision, suggesting that the employment market might not be healing as fast as it looked previously. And I think that, we see this in some of the other, like some of the details, like manufacturing. Economists thought it was going to add 54,000 jobs. Instead, they lost 18,000. That's another big miss. Unemployment rate goes from 6% just to 6.1%. Might not sound so bad, but the market was thinking it was going to fall to 5.8%. So almost no matter how you cut it, it's a poor report. And I think that the challenge is that, what is the significance? Is it really telling us something important about the economy, or is it a bit of a fluke? And so you're right. You know, initially when the news came out, the bond yield tumbled. We got down to almost a 145 yield on our 10-year bond, which, remember, back in March, it was close to 1.77. So as yields fell, the disappointing news, yields fell, it took the dollar down as well. But I think to your point about why the stock market could rally on this news, and I think this is what's going on. I think there's people, including myself, who thought the Federal Reserve was slipping behind the curve. You know, we're talking about rapid growth. We're talking about strong monetary, strong fiscal support, vaccination program accelerating, at least to the point where now you got a majority of American adults have the vaccine, at least one shot. You got pent-up demand. You got people going back to work. The economy is opening up. And so is the economy really growing quickly? And we thought it was. And that, why would the Fed still be, I'm not talking about raising rates, but why would they still have to be buying $120 billion worth of bonds a month? Canada, Norway, well, Canada's already tapering. The UK announced this week that they're going to slow their bond buying, weekly bond buying. And Norway reaffirmed that they are going to raise rates before the end of the year. So all people like myself was like asking, shouldn't the Fed at least lighten up its foot on the gas? And so we get this employment data, and I think that people's knee-jerk reaction is that this tells us the Federal Reserve is right, that the economy does need and has scope for more or for continued strong monetary support. And so when yields were rising, the stock market had been struggling, but the view had been that there was some kind of rotation from like the Nasdaq tech to the Dow. But today we're seeing the stock market rally. I mean, the Dow had closed at new highs, but we're at record highs, I think, in the Dow and the S&P 500 today, and the Nasdaq is really the best performer.
Yeah, the markets are closing strongly for the week, and that's after trading sideways for about 3 weeks. Mark, when it comes to the fact that the Fed seems more than willing to be behind other central banks, even on the back of what we had seen was pretty good data throughout April and even earlier on this week, obviously we ended the week poorly with that jobs number, but do you see that as being the key driver here between almost the straight down move that we saw in the U.S. dollar throughout the month of April?
Well, I, I think of it more like this, that the I don't think the Federal Reserve minds it's behind the curve, because these are still relatively small countries who have their own idiosyncratic sort of challenges. And Canada, as you know, often does raise rates before the Federal Reserve does. I think that the that broadly that the what's happened in the last couple of weeks is while the U.S. has been reporting fairly strong data, it's beginning to, economists have already made the adjustments. So if you look at like a data surprise model, for example, the U.S. is actually weakening on that kind of model, but the Eurozone has been going up. So I think that the market has made the adjustment, and I think this is what next week's data is going to be so important about. Today's April's jobs data tends to be the first high-frequency data we get for a month, and that often lets economists forecast other data points. So, for example, if you know what how many Americans are working and what happened to their wages, you have a good idea of what consumption is going to be. If you have a good idea of what consumption will be, you'll know that retail sales is roughly half of consumption. So that'll help you forecast the retail sales number. And next week, we also get the industrial production number. With the loss of manufacturing jobs, does this mean that industrial production suffered? And so I think that for me, these kind of the high-frequency economic data is a bit of a puzzle, and they got to be like triangulated. And even though it's not always a coherent picture, that's what we try to strive to see in them. And so I think that's why next week's data is going to be important. Is it going to confirm that the weakness that we saw, the disappointment we saw in the jobs data, or is the job data a bit of a fluke and the economy is really booming?
That'll be the question to answer, but it definitely was a surprise, that jobs data to end this week. Mark, I do have to ask you about base metals, too, because that's something that I think should be on everyone's radar. I'm sure it's on a lot of people's radar, but this almost euphoric move in copper up to closing in now on $5, it wasn't that long ago the copper was, well, in the $3 range and then even lower. But the fact of the matter is all this attention has come back into copper. What are your thoughts on the run that we have seen in base metals, which don't typically move this aggressively higher?
Yeah, so I think that oftentimes, right, so when I have a question like this, I often think about just going back to the basics, like keep it simple, stupid type stuff. It's simply that look at supply and demand variables. And we know supply variables. We saw this in the Chinese trade data that came out a couple of hours before the U.S. jobs data, and put this in perspective for you. So in U.S. dollar terms, their exports were up almost a third from a year ago, well above expectations, like a third higher than was expected. Imports up 43%. And that imports, of course, China imports is a big importer of these commodities since they are really the factory, if you will, of the world. So what's driving the imports is a combination of volume, which was strong, and as well as higher prices. So I don't have the copper number in front of me. I got this iron ore, though. And here's what it looks like. In value terms, January through April, the value of China's iron ore imports rose by 82%. But by volume, it was up about 7%. 7% is still pretty strong, but that overall captures the price as well. And so on one hand, then I'd say what's driving the base metals on one hand is the sort of resurgence of China, and what they're doing is they're servicing world demand. So the higher price for copper from the demand side is partly coming from the reopening of the economies. And anticipation of the electrification with electric cars and appliances and that kind of stuff. But on the other hand, you do have supply issues too. Inventories were low, and you've got some disruptions from South America. And so this combination, but it's not just, when I say it's not just the industrial metals, the base metals, it's not just the precious metals. You look at the grains. And you know, when grain prices go up, meat prices go up around the same time or shortly thereafter. And we're talking about the CRB index, so the broad measure of commodity prices, is sitting today at new highs since at least a 3-year high, maybe a little bit longer. And this is after, so we had a big rally from after last year, right during COVID collapses, CRB index rallies. It stalls at the end of Q1, dips in April as the dollar gets stronger, and now has taken a new leg up to these new highs, driven by everything. I mean, sort of like inflation and everything, a rising prices, a bull market and everything, commodities, inputs, low inventory levels, coupled with stronger demand, coupled with some seasonal issues, like in the grains, you've got some weather issues. And in the metals, you've got these labor issues. So I think it still looks to me like it's not so much a weaker dollar story driving this, but that probably is another component to it.
So, Mark, what markets are you most focused on right now then? Because we can talk about some interesting swings in a wide range of markets, but what do you think matters the most for investors, and what do you think is the most foretelling about where we're going?
Right now, I have to say I'm still really focused on the U.S. 10-year yield, partly because I just see how the whole like mood of the market is driven by it and what's happening. And I see this, maybe the 10-year might, I don't want to exaggerate too much, because I'd say it's also at the short end. I just see how well the dollar tracks these interest rates and interest rate expectations. And so I'm looking at things that influence the Fed. And next week, I mentioned we get the retail sales and industrial production data. We also get the CPI and the PPI. And we're going to see a big jump again in the headline year-over-year rates, partly because of the base effect and partly because of the supply chain and bottlenecks we're having.
All right, Mark, we're going to wrap it up there. Some interesting moves again this week, but a lot in the currency markets too, I think we need to be paying attention to. But boy, oh boy, that run in base metals, it seems to just keep on going. We haven't seen that for a long time, and there's a lot that carries over to when it comes to markets and also central bank policies. But again, too, the economic restart that is happening almost around the world, I guess we can say. Mark, good chatting with you. I'll post a link to your free blog, Mark to Market, and we'll chat again next week. Hope you have a great weekend there, Mark.
Thanks. Good luck to everybody.